Well, I've been going to the movies, and the recent popular movies about long walks have attracted me to the idea. The movie The Way came out in 2010. It's a movie about a 500-mile Christian walk across northern Spain. Then I saw the movie Tracks, which is a 2013 film about a young woman's nine-month journey on camels, 1,700 miles across the Australian desert. This is a true story that she did in the 1970s, and she wrote a book about it, which is now required reading of all young people in Australia. Then I saw the movie Wild, which is another true story, a 2014 movie about a young woman hiking 1,100 miles of the Pacific Crest Trail on a journey of self-reflection. And then most recently, I saw a movie called A Walk in the Woods. It's a sort of a fictionalized version of a true story, a 2015 film about two men hiking part of the 2,200-mile Appalachian Trail, based on Bill Bryson's book, A Walk in the Woods. Now, all four of these movies are based on actual walks that real people have taken. The stories inspire me to think of walking to enhance my own spiritual life. So in my imagination, I can see myself walking across Spain or on the Pacific Coast Trail, Crest Trail, or the Appalachian Trail, or even walking part of the way across Australia. And I imagine myself having deep spiritual, deep religious experiences as I walk. Of course, it's not likely that I will really do this, given my age and the fact that I am not in shape. Indeed, I hesitate to talk about walking at all because some of you are temporarily or permanently limited in your own ability to walk. And I don't want anyone to leave this service this morning feeling bad about limited mobility. Whatever your physical condition, this morning, I hope you can take a walk with me in your imagination. All of us can imagine a walk, even if some of us are not up for it. Well, so I am not in shape for even a 500-mile walk across northern Spain. I decided instead to try a 5-mile walk. A cool summer day in February, I left Sarasota and drove east on the state highway, on Highway 72. I turned left at the road to Myakka River State Park. In the 1930s, park rangers designated the area south of Highway 71, or 72, I've got both numbers here, south of the major highway, as a wilderness preserve. And they limited the area to only 30 visitors per day. So I stopped at the small visitor center, and I got a permit to walk in the wilderness preserve to a place called Deep Hole. I drove to the head of the trail that goes from west to east towards Myakka's lower lake. Pulling my car off the road, I locked it, and I left my cell phone in the car, choosing to be out of touch with the world for a few minutes, few moments, few hours. And I started to walk east on a dirt path. Now, I had driven quickly from Sarasota to Myakka, watching the traffic and not thinking about the land through which I was driving. The highways and the buildings that I saw looked much like the highways and buildings you'd see anywhere in America. Everywhere I saw the same signs for gas stations and for restaurants. I could have been in Ohio or New York State or California instead of Florida. But now, on the path, I was away from all of that. At first, I felt strange, walking on the path without the sounds and the speed of driving. For most of human history, we humans traveled at foot speeds. Our transition from foot travel to motor travel, in terms of evolutionary time, has been abrupt. When I started walking, a part of me was still back in that car with its radio connecting me to the world. My body remembered the traffic. It remembered the sensation of traveling at 50 miles an hour. And when I stopped moving, only gradually did I adjust. Of course, I thought if I had walked to the park from Sarasota, when I arrived, I would have been more sensitive to my environment. Gradually, I became aware of my surroundings. It was mid-afternoon. The sky was blue with a few clouds. The temperature that day in February was in the 60s. The wind was not blowing. I heard only the sounds of insects, occasionally the call of a bird, and the sounds that I made as I walked along the path. Now, the trail is wide enough to drive a truck on. There are muddy spots everywhere that day, left from rain the day before. On either side of me, there were shrubs, grass, and an occasional tree. I thought to myself that in another life, I wanted to take a botany class to learn the names of all the plants I was seeing. Walking by myself, I had a feeling of freedom. I did not need to match my pace with anyone else. I could walk as fast or as slowly as I wanted. I could stop. I could stand and look at the sky and listen without needing to explain my stopping to anyone, without worrying that they would become bored and with my standing and say, "Hurry up, Roger, let's keep walking." Being alone was liberating. Myalka is the closest I could come to a place where I could experience wilderness just for a few hours. I could feel for a short time what life had once been like in Florida. In the city, I forget that this was all once wilderness, not long ago. This was once mostly unknowable, mostly alien. Only recently has human life come to this place. While living in the city, I am mostly unaware of that wilderness. And its creatures, the animals, the insects, the birds, they are mostly unaware of me. The raccoon, for example, does not think about religion or churches. The raccoon does not trouble itself about politics or presidential campaigns. The trees are not aware of a war in the Middle East. The bird in the sky does not know about terror attacks. The wilderness is not part of the busyness of human society. For a few hours, I left all that busyness behind and experienced a humbler view of myself in relationship to the earth. The sky was mostly clear as I walked. My destination was a place called Deep Hole. I wanted to sit near the water and watch for birds and alligators. After about 2 miles of walking, I came to a forested area near the lower lake. The path turned south to follow the water. I turned the corner of the trail following it, and I was standing in front of a wild hog about 5 feet long. Now, the hog is not a Florida native. One theory is that the Spanish explorer De Soto may have introduced hogs to Florida 500 years ago. When I came upon the big hog suddenly, I jumped. But the wild pig also jumped. And then it disappeared quickly into the undergrowth. I'd only walked about 2 miles from the State Highway 71, and from Interstate 75, it was only about 7 miles to my west, the interstate. Nevertheless, I could not hear the sounds of car engines on the roads, could not hear trucks or diesel engines. For long stretches of time, I heard no sounds but the sounds of the woods and an occasional airplane passing over. I had traveled only a short distance from Sarasota, but from all I could tell, I might now be in 1916, or for that matter, 1716. 300 years ago on the Florida Peninsula, there were only natural sounds. Just birds, frogs, and insects. I tried to imagine Native Americans hunting on this land 300 years ago. They may have fished in the water here. I thought to myself, although I am alone, I am following in the steps of many others. The only evidence that it was 2016 was in the sky. I could see the white ice crystal contrail of an airplane overhead. But I did not allow the passing planes to ruin my afternoon in the Florida wilderness. For a time, I was alive in the wilderness, without the help or the interference of any machine. It was such a simple thing, but it gave me a great deal of pleasure. I approached the edge of the water-filled sinkhole. I found a place in the sun and I sat on the ground. The sinkhole is about 200 feet across and I'm told 130 feet deep. It has an abundance of fish at the higher level who attract many alligators. But that day, the water temperature was warmer than the air temperature. And to stay warm, the alligators stayed deep in the water, and I didn't see any. I could hear the occasional splash of a fish jumping out of the water to eat insects. I saw a turtle on a log with the clouds in the sky reflected in the water. Hawks were always overhead. A heron walked near the shore. A bird with a long neck walked by. White feathered birds were flying in the distance. their wings reflected below in the water. Several birds were looking for small fish in the water. I saw movement in the reeds. It was a camouflaged brown-striped bird with green feet, a rare American bittern. It had flown down from Canada for the winter, and it walked slowly amid the tall marsh vegetation. For a time, propped against the trunk of a tree, I rested. I looked out at the water and the sky. And then finally, wanting to arrive back at my car before sunset, I started my 2-mile walk back. Perhaps because there's better blood flowing in my brain when I'm exercising, my brain works better when I'm walking. I began to think in my imagination about the nighttime images of the United States taken from NASA's satellites. The photos show where the lights are, and they also show the places without many lights, the dark places at night. Even near the large suburban centers in the eastern United States, there are dark places. In the satellite photo, Sarasota lights up brightly at night. However, close by, Mayaca is in darkness, a place mostly of empty buildings, of homes and a few cars, in darkness. Now I was thinking about this, and suddenly a few feet to my right, there was a movement in the shrubs, a lot of activity very suddenly. A bird, probably a hawk, flew up and away very fast. I listened to the flapping of its wings. Then it was quiet again. Only the sound of low singing of the insects. For hours now, I had walked, making as little noise as possible. Gradually, I had joined the quiet of the wilderness with my own quiet. That day, the smells of the grass and the earth, the feel of the air against my skin, it all just opened my spirit, opened my heart like a flower. Just before I got back to the car, the sun was nearing the horizon, and a park ranger, a young woman driving a pickup truck, pulled up next to me and stopped. It was near the closing time of sunset. They may have sent her out to look for me, because I had not yet returned my permit to the visitor center. "Did you see any wildlife?" she asked. I told her about the birds and the wild hog, and I assured her that I had had a good walk. I thought, perhaps if there's reincarnation, perhaps in another life, I will be a park ranger. At my car, I lingered, sorry to be going. Eventually, I drove to the visitor center and then drove the 16 miles back to Sarasota. I turned on public radio and discovered that in my absence, the world of humans had continued to function. I probably will never walk all 2,200 miles of the Appalachian Trail or 1,000 miles of the Pacific Coast Trail or even 500 miles of a pilgrimage in Spain. Nevertheless, in moderation, I still can find joy in visiting wilderness areas. That evening, as I was going to sleep, I thought of a favorite passage that uses the metaphor of walking to talk about religious communities. Reverend Jacob Trapp, who retired and ended his days in New Mexico walking out in the desert, Jacob Trapp wrote, "Religion as a set of right beliefs and right observations becomes divisive and absurd. Religion as a walking with others, as a listening to others, as a sharing with others, is not a creed, but a way of life." Remembering those words and my visit to Mayaca, I went to bed and I slept well that night.